Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the What Next podcast. Today, I will be having a discussion with a very creative young lady called Moreni Keji. Moreni Keji and I will be discussing succeeding in your career path without burning bridges along the way. And this will entail negotiating, not compromising on your beliefs, as well as making sure that you're able to maintain the relevant relationships as you succeed. So welcome to the podcast, Moreni Keji. Let's get into this discussion. So in your write-up, you talk about being a people pleaser and needing to have more confidence and being more assertive. Why do you think that you're not assertive, or what gives you the impression that today you lack that assertiveness?
Because I know that I'm not assertive. And that's why I said my mouth needs to catch up with my body. I'm not assertive, but I'm very stubborn. I'm very strong-willed. So it's a case where you tell me to do something, I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
So I end up still doing what I want to do, but because of my inability to express it to the other person, it then causes more conflict.
Okay.
Yes.
So what makes you think, or what? Let's not say what makes you think, because obviously you know yourself quite well, but why do you think you choose not to express what it, because you communicate fantastically, right? So it's not a lack of words. It seems like you're choosing not to tell the person. And why is that?
First of all, it actually, having those kind of conversations give me a lot of anxiety.
Right.
I just start And then I think there's also an element of perhaps pride. Maybe pride isn't the word, but it's like, I don't like to argue, and maybe me, because my mom says I'm really obstinate, and I can see why she would say that. I would prefer to be called strong-willed and determined. And I know that once my mind is set on something, that is what I'm going to do.
Right.
But I also still have a lot of my anxiety and my doubt, and I don't want anybody's doubt or fear to compound mine. And I've just always been that person that, I wouldn't say defies, but just goes the opposite way of what I'm expected to do. So it's like, it's still going to be the same conversation. So let's just not have it. And I'm more of, I think it's a problem, but it's a good thing sometimes. I'm more of, I don't want to really say things. I just want to show them. Right. So when it all aligns, you would see why I decided to do this or where my head was at. But, and people just want to control me and all of that. So I'm just I'm not going to have that conversation. Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. I mean, a lot of what you said sounds very healthy to me. First and foremost, you know what you want. You're pretty clear on it. You don't want someone's negative views to impact the direction in which you're going. And you definitely don't want their negative views to give you doubt, because you're clear that this is what you want to do.
Yes.
However, the element of it that I think sounds a bit unhealthy is when you say someone asks you to do something, you don't say no, but you go ahead and still do what you want to do. I think that can create conflict.
Yes, it always does.
Exactly. And that is a concern. It's something that you might want to look at. How do we overcome this? Because it's important. It's just mutual respect, right?
Mm.
If I'm respecting you enough to tell you this is how I see things and this is what I'd like you to do, and you say nothing, I'm going to work on the assumption that we're on the same page. And then to find out later that we weren't, I might feel a bit betrayed. So whilst I hear you, you have anxiety around conflict, but why does it have to be conflicting, right? Why couldn't we have an exchange that doesn't result in it sounding like we're having an argument? Because it sounds like that's what you're afraid of. I don't want to get into a messy back and forth.
Yeah.
I want to do this, and that's that. Which is fair enough. But understand that the conflict you're trying to avoid, you're still going to have it later when I find out that what we discussed.
It's compounding.
It's compounding. So the case is, how do we get past that? Because it's better that you face it, now than face it later. And worst is, later I'll feel disrespected. But at least if we have the conversation now, I might feel like you're just strong will. And at least, at the very least, you're giving me a warning to let me know you're not doing what it is I think you should be doing, right? So from your end, considering the fact that you're a strong communicator, I still can't see the people pleasing layer of what you've just said, because it's actually contradicting that.
Yes.
You're not pleasing me at all. If anything, you're antagonizing me by doing what you're about to do.
Okay, I think I was a people pleaser, and that is what triggered me being more stubborn.
So you've gone from one extreme
yes,
to the other.
Yes, I have. But it's like my experience with people pleasing was just very like, I'm going to show you people that you cannot continue to treat me like this. So perhaps I went to the other extreme. I find that, like, I'm a firstborn girl in a Nigerian home. So like the concept of responsibility and taking care of everybody and doing things the right way and doing things because of other people apart from yourself was something that was drilled into me since I was a child. And I had been able for a long time to cope with that. And then I just had this breakdown at some point. So it's like, we're not going to be going like down that route. And that led to a lot of bridges burning and a lot of, yes, this conflict. But it's like, I'm sorry that you're angry. That's not my responsibility. I'm just going to, like, I hope that after a while, I think that it's because, so I have a lot of personal relationships with people that are older than me in my family. And there's just always been these expectations that I have been meeting over time. But I got to a space where I was just like, I didn't have it in me to continue to meet up with these expectations. And then the feedback that I got from that change in behavior was not nice. So I think I also felt a sort of resentment, because me then trying to pick myself and do the things that I wanted to do started being interpreted as me being selfish. And it just got messy. So I just took a break from those people. And I'm like, I can't handle this situation now, because I'm still, as much as I'm very sure of what I want to do, like I said, I have my own doubts and my own struggles with being firm in my beliefs or like the process of whatever it is that I want to do. So there's too much going in my head for me to cater to your own expectations. And I've always kind of like I said, defied what was expected of me, like right from high school, from junior high school. So after junior high school, you go to senior high school. That's where you peak if you're doing the sciences or the arts or the commercial part. And then everybody was like, I had to do sciences because I was really intelligent at school. And I'm like, oh, no, thank you. So it's like, these are things that I've already chosen the path that I want to go on, but the people around me keep, you should have done sciences. Why are you doing what you're doing and everything? And try to like push me into what they think is safer. And I understand why it seems that way. So it's a case where, and what I think is toxic, not toxic, but what is problematic with that is I then start to value myself or based on the product that I give, and then the process of being able to achieve those things during that time. I don't want to be seen by anybody or consider other people. Like, let me just do what I'm doing and it would make sense to you at the end of the day. But that causes, yes, a lot of me running away, a lot of compounded conflicts. But another thing is that they actually always resolve themselves at the end of the day. So it's like, it's a lot, but I think I've learned how to manage it. And I'm trying to have these conversations. I just really, this type part of the world, older people don't really respect your choices. So as much as we have these conversations, it's just going to keep on happening. It's a recycled conversation, and I'm tired of having it.
So maybe a mindset shift a bit, right? From both ends, I think.
Yeah.
From your end, you're clear on what you want to do. And I don't think anybody other than yourself should be able to define your future and your choices. What what our relatives and our parents are there for is guidance, especially at a certain point. Whilst you are under their roof and you are in elementary and secondary, of course, what they say is pretty much law, but you would hope to be able to have some level of negotiations, especially when at that age, you're already very clear on the direction you want to go. You need to understand as well that for some parents, the belief is also that when you're in high school, what do you really know about the future, right?
Yeah.
What do you know about where you want to go to? You want to be drawing? You want to make money from drawing, you know? So you can understand where their fear is coming from.
Mm-hmm, totally.
However, the world has changed significantly.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of artists that are making a lot more money than people even in the science field today.
Mm-hmm.
I think being able to communicate in a language that they understand always works, and not being defiant and standing your ground and insisting that this is why, what you want to do. Your ability to also tell them the why, right? And the how, more important. And be able to show them what the end goal is important. And you don't have to do this to everyone because you don't owe everyone. But in order to ensure that you continue to have good relationships with at least the key people in your life, because you don't also want to, you know, lose a lot of people along the path of success just because you're trying to be successful. Because if you ever heard that saying, it's very lonely at the top, right? So as lonely as it is at the top, one of the things that make you sane is having a handful of loved ones and people that you trust around you. So as you go through your journey, it's important that you still keep those people, and for them, respecting them enough by listening to them as well, because in their opinion, they've lived in this world way longer than you have. And so there are certain experiences that they've had that you can't ever, you know, imagine. And they want you to learn from mistakes they might have made.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it does not mean that you should not follow your dream. It just means that, as with everything in life, there has to be a compromise. And these are things that you have to learn. Your generation is not very good at compromising. This is a topic that is everywhere. Gen Z, you guys do not want to compromise. You believe this is the direction and that's it. And whilst I understand, and I personally love the passion and I love the drive, and I see a lot of tenacity in this generation that maybe previous generations somehow were limited by, right? Because when you have people telling you, putting the fear of, if you follow your dreams, you will fail. And so because of that, you've stayed on the safe path. You've lost out on a lot of potential that you had, right? But for your generation, you guys are breaking boundaries, and that is lovely. However, you're also hurting yourself a lot more as well, because you're not learning from the experiences of those that have gone before you. You know, that whole saying of, I have seen further because I stood on the shoulder of giants. So that is what they're trying to give to you. Something else you said, however, was the responsibility of being a first child. And that's a real, you know, that is real, especially in, you know, our environment. You know, when you're a firstborn, and especially a first girl, there is a lot of responsibility on your shoulder. And you're saddled with that responsibility of, there are younger ones that are looking up to you. So if you do this, then what are you teaching your younger ones? And you're thinking, well, I'm not their parents. It's not my responsibility to show them or teach them. That's yours.
Exactly.
Question is, how do you communicate that effectively without coming across as, I am being disrespectful, being defiant, or I am also leading my younger ones down the wrong path, right? And again, it's all about how we express ourselves. And don't get me wrong, some parents are very traditional. It really doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
A plus A for them has to end up to be a B, right? But as we well know today, it doesn't always go down that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is, you did it. You did all the right things, but you felt somehow like you were losing a part of yourself. And
yes.
So you now became rebellious and you've gone the other extreme.
Perhaps.
Yeah. How do we compromise?
How do we compromise? Yeah, I think having these conversations are important. I think luckily for me, my mom is very, she will always speak her mind. But she would give you, she's in, whatever choice you make is yours. But when you have the consequence, don't stress me. They're yours too. So I think that puts me in a space where I'm more, before I make certain choices, I think about them a lot. And as much as it's like, oh, I don't listen to people, I'm always asking questions. I'm always like, this is what I want to do. How do you think I should do it? Or I have a friend but the friend is me. So I'm always like looking out for people's perspectives, but making sure that whatever choice that I decide to make is mine. And so whatever consequence, the good ones, the bad ones, like whatever possible consequence comes out of these choices, I'm able to handle them. And then my younger sister, because I have just one sister, she's even the one that pushes me to be more assertive and rebellious, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I think now that we've both grown and the kind of conversations that we have with my mom, she's more respectful of the fact that we're different people and my sister has a mind of her own. So if she's making choices, she's mm-hmm. making them because she wants to make them. But I like being an elder sister also, and I am aware of the fact that the way that I live my life can in many ways affect my younger sister's choices and the life that she will live. So I try to be conscious of my choices, and the ones that I think I didn't make the best, I am open and I tell her, oh, this is how I did things, but I don't think this is the right way to. But I think perhaps because I'm not a parent, I'm still a little bit more comfortable with allowing my sister like make her own mistakes and trusting that she would figure it out at the end of the day. And then my mom and I always have this back and forth when I tell her that I'm not my sister's mommy. I'm my sister. No, stress me, please. Mm. That kind of thing. So with my mom, it's a healthier and more balanced conversation and communication type. The only thing is that my mom is very critical. So by the time she's talking, it's like me being able to differentiate her condemning what I'm doing as opposed to her condemning me.
Right.
Yes. And like it's a general problem my sister and I have with her. She's just going to say it how it is, that kind of thing. But I think, and that's the only person that I think that I want to be responsible towards in regards to having these conversations and whatnot. And then the thing of expectations, because like everybody believes that I'm really intelligent. I'm really like, there's so much expectation.
But you are very intelligent.
Thank you. And everything. But it's like, there's a lot of fear because right. It's like, am I wasting it? This isn't the traditional way that things are done. This isn't like, what is she doing?
A lot of wasted potential.
Yes, that's what they think. Mm. And I've always been that child that could do everything.
Right.
So it's like, you have to pick one. And as much as I get that, and in some ways see how that makes sense, at the other side, it's like, don't try to constrain me or like fit me into a box. And like I said, I had this whole breakdown where I just lost it. And then it's like, now that I'm getting myself together, my conviction is even stronger.
Right.
And I know what I'm doing. I know it doesn't look that way, but I know what I'm doing and I see how it aligns. Of course, sometimes I have my own doubts and whatnot, but I know what I'm doing. I think extended family members, my uncles, etc., also have their own opinions. And sometimes adults can be controlling and not respectful of the fact that I'm not a child forever. Like, of course, I'm still a child, in quotes, but I'm not going to go in the route you think I should or that you want me to. So having to get them to understand that is my major... But it's not a problem to me anymore. I don't want you to understand.
I was about to say, why do they need to understand?
So that's why it comes off as if you're obstinate, you're stubborn. And I'm like, oops.
I actually see it as respectful silence, right? So if I told you how I really felt, you mm-hmm. might see me as disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I said it in the most polite way, you wouldn't accept it exactly. Because you already have a perception about how and who I should be. Mm-hmm. So I'm respectfully saying nothing and waiting to be a success so you can see.
You can, exactly.
And I think I understand. I think I understand it a lot better listening to you.
The stage I'm at right now.
And that's fair enough. And can I just say, I love your passion. I love your conviction.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you are so, you're so self-aware. This is what I want to do. I've gone through trying to please everyone. It didn't work for me. If anything, I almost lost myself in the process of trying to please everyone else. It's time for me to go down my own path. And and I think when I listen to you talk about your mom, I think the only thing I would say is where you're not sure whether she's criticizing the concept or criticizing you, the individual.
Yeah.
I think you've lived with her for
ever
your entire life, right?
Yes.
So at this point, no one should know her better than you. And you should know that whatever she's saying, however she's using the wrong choice of words, it's not about you personally, right? It's about, I want you to understand that I don't agree with this particular process or what you're choosing to do, but never should you feel, and I'm sure if you had this conversation with her, she would let you know as well, no matter what I say, it's all love. It's all, you know, making sure that you're fine. I know in the moment, it might sting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel that way. Trust me. And this is why we say, choose your words carefully, because once the word's out there, you can't take it back, right? So
back.
I hear you. Yeah. And maybe once in a while, those conversations should be had, you know.
Yeah.
But understand that the habit of a lifetime, it's not going to change overnight, right? So continue to have those conversations and those engagements with her. Like you said, you're someone that whatever it is you decide you want to do, whatever direction you want to go, you know you could be successful. You know, that statement alone convinces me.
That's how it will be.
That you're going to be successful. Because it starts with believing in yourself, right?
Yeah.
So if you say to yourself, doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to make it, right? It's the same with me. You know, when I think about the fact that when I wanted to come back to Nigeria, a lot of people had doubt, right? Really? Most people are trying to leave. Why are you trying to go back? Well, I'm like, it's not about the country. Wherever I end up, I'm going to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I know I'm going to be a success already, 50%, I'm already there, right?
Yeah.
So whatever it is, and I've looked at your bio, you want to go into filmmaking, You're already in it. So there we go. And I have no doubt that in the coming years, we're probably going to be watching one of your movies on the big screen.
But like, in the big screen in coming years,
So, so keep doing that and don't doubt yourself. But in everything you do, also remember that there has to be compromises.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a big thing that, you know, this generation needs to learn there are compromises. And in order for you to ensure that even in your success, you don't end up having a lot of conflict, you have to just make sure that you're negotiating and making sure that whatever decisions you're making, they're the ones you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind that other people's feelings and views have to be taken into consideration. But the right people, not everyone, just the right people. So I'm sure you'll do fine.
Yeah. So, okay. I think in the questionnaire I filled, I said something about knowing how to bargain better.
Right.
And in this conversation about compromises, how to negotiate with other people and knowing where the middle point that doesn't take too much from me. Well, like, how am I able to like find that balance between, first of all, the ability to bargain, as opposed to being like, I think because of, I'm a little worried that by the time I want to bargain with someone, they would want too much from me. So I'm just going to thug it out and do it myself. So for example, I'm a filmmaker. Because I have a pre-existing idea of how perhaps Nollywood is and what it's like to get a production company to believe in your work, I will skip that bargaining step with like trying to find a production company that's going to trust me or trust my film. Because even if they accept my film, there's either the side of sexual harassment or the side of they want to take more control that I'm willing to give. So I wouldn't go the route of bargaining. I would rather just go the route of, okay, so I'm going to do it myself. It might be tougher and take more time and resources, but I'd rather do that as opposed to bargaining. But I think, and that is healthy in some ways, but sometimes I think you may have to like know how to bargain and negotiate as opposed to running from it and just doing it yourself.
Right. So I'm a commercial person.
Yes.
And so a lot of what I do has to do with negotiating and bargaining. But I'm a big believer of everybody, no matter what discipline you find yourself in, you have to have some level of selling skills. Because everything in life, whether it's you're relating with your parents, you're relating with your best friend, you're relating with your spouse or your partner, at some point, you're going to negotiate on something. Otherwise, people will always walk all over you, right?
Yeah.
So my view and what makes the difference between a salesperson who sells you something and you walk away from the person feeling like this one just wants to take money from me, as against a salesperson who you walk away feeling like this person has actually given me something that's going to help me improve, is knowing what the person you want to bargain with wants, right?
Okay.
So I go into every negotiation knowing for myself what success looks like. So what is the minimum expectation I want to get out of this conversation, right? What would be my ideal scenario? So this is gold. This is what would, I'll walk away from this negotiation feeling like, yeah, you did it, girl. I need to know what that looks like. Then I need to know what, okay, this is an outcome I could live with, right? It's an outcome that it's not the best, but it's not the worst. I could work with this. And then I need to know what my no-nos are. Like, this is a showstopper for me. It's not. Once you have those three worked out, the next thing you need to understand is, what would that person you're about to negotiate want out of this? Because you need to go into that negotiation already knowing as well what would not work for that person. Because you then need to, prior to going to the negotiation, have the answers ready. How do I show the person that they can still get what they want whilst I get what I want, and this is the direction, and so it's a win-win for both of us? So for me, the best sort of negotiation outcomes is one where the two parties walk away feeling great. Even if I end up getting the biggest share of the pie, you got enough for you to feel like you did fantastic, right? I may not show you all my cards, so you may not even realize I walked away with a lion's share, because what you walked away with was good enough for you. So I think for me, those are the things you need to take into consideration walking into those negotiations. I love the fact that you feel you have the strength to go and do it on your own, but a time is going to come where you can't. And especially in your industry, you need people. You're always going to need to work with producers. You're always going to need to work with other filmmakers. You're going to, in order for you to get to the next level, unless you want to continue to stay small and niche, you will still need to have those discussions and those negotiations.
Yes.
You just need to know for yourself what's a showstopper. And if you're able to sell your concept well enough that the other person can see the vision, then you're in a better position to bargain harder because they're already sold on the project.
Yeah.
The question now is, what am I going to get? What are you going to get? And that will depend on your ability to show that person that, but I'm bringing a lot more to the table than you are. What you are bringing to the table is your name and your expertise and the fact that if I do it under your production company, people already know your production company, right?
Yes.
So that is what they're bringing to the table. But what are you bringing to the table? So your ability to sell yourself and the skills and the fact that without me, this isn't going to work because I'm the it that's going to make this a success. Your ability to sell that will take you to the next level.
Okay. That's just how you see that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So don't always walk away from the negotiations.
Okay.
At least try having them.
Okay. Know?
And have a plan B if it doesn't work out.
And a C and a D.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just make sure that you at least, at the very least, go for it.
Yeah. I wanted to, this is an aside to this conversation. I wanted to thank you for your journal.
Oh.
So my life was falling apart. And then Chinyere sold me your journal. And I'm like, this is the answer to all my life problems
at
that time. So it really helped me to, because I can be a lot. And there can be like so much going in my mind. And I'm a writer, but I really don't like writing. I prefer to just have everything stored in my head.
Mm.
And then sometimes it compounds and gets confusing. So at that point in time, it was before me being able to make my film, and there was so, and I did too much. Like, I'm learning how to delegate now. But at that time, I was doing a lot and I was storing everything in my mind and it was driving me crazy. And I was like, God, my life is over. And then I opened the journal because I had it for like some 2 months and I didn't open it. And then I opened it and I'm like, this is the answer to my problem. So that ability to write things down, plan and take it little by little by little till you get to where you want to go is really, really vital in my progress. So thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much. And this is brilliant feedback. I always love to hear feedback on the journal. Mm-hmm. You know, it will always help us to improve on the next version that will come out. But I'm glad it helped you. Journaling was a big part of my life and still is today. You know, growing up, having conversations with people was not always something that came easy for me because I'm very big on trust. And, you know, once information is out there, you don't know where that information ends up. So journaling. And I always say to people, the answers to all our questions are already within us. We just need to find a way to bring it out.
Yeah.
And when you journal and you go back and read what you've written, you're like, girl, let me tell you the answer to what you just, do you understand what I mean?
Totally.
So it's brilliant. And I'm glad it was able to help you. And I hope you continue your journaling journey because sometimes seeing it written down brings it to life for you. So,
yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Great stuff.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Kiji,
for joining me today. Thank you for having me.
And sharing your story.
Thank you. Bye.